Good morning to everyone. It's a beautiful day, even though we've had some rain, but you know we must have the rain. The sun now is shining forth, and I pray that we might experience again today, as we did last night, that sun, that S-U-N, also the S-O-N of righteousness. Yes, this is good morning, but very soon now, afternoon will come, and night will come. But there is coming a day that there will be no noon, and no afternoon, and no night. By my watch, it is now a little past 11:30. I've always lived on the border of the Eastern and the Central time zone. I grew up in Opelika, Alabama, the last city before you get to the Eastern zone. Now I have lived and worked in the Chattanooga area, the last city before you get to the Central zone. So I've lived on the border of the time zones. But that day which is to come, there'll be no time zones. There'll be no time. These zones, even though I've lived on the border, have often confused me. Brother Mike Mitchell had us in his home earlier this year, and I got down there an hour earlier. Never have gotten used to being on the border of the time zones. But one of these days, there'll be no borders. I don't believe there are any borders in heaven, just as there are no time zones. May I call your attention to these words from the Ephesian letter, the third chapter, beginning with verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, Paul said, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints, which is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. I'd like to begin just now with two words, yea and nay. And maybe these two words will help you to remember some of the things I will endeavor to say this morning. Yea and nay. The paramount subject is the love of God. We will never be able to fathom that love. As this scripture reads in the 18th verse, may we be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Is it not your utmost desire this morning to know more about the love of God? Here in this congregation, I know that there are a number of people related to each other. I have my wife and my nephew, Andrew, and his grandmother's sister, Huffman. And there is an intensity of love among us. With all of us this morning, we are here as brothers and sisters in Christ, and there is an abiding love among us, is there not? And oh, may that continue. May that never fade. We had a delightful visit last evening in the home of Brother and Sister Irvin. And we were talking about mutual acquaintances through the years. We have not known Brother and Sister Irvin before this trip, although we probably had shaken hands with each other in large assemblies such as the Pigeon Forge meeting. But we enjoyed it immensely. Brother, I told them, I said, Brother Lawrence chose the right place for us. But in passing names about Sister Irvin mentioned that in years gone by, many years ago, probably not many of you will remember coming here, Elder J. A. Monsees, but she remembered his coming here. And Brother G.P. Nall from Bethany Church in Atlanta, many, many years ago. And I thought as their names were mentioned, I remember among my papers an account of the peace meeting here at Bethel Church, probably in the 40s, probably over 60 years ago. There had been some problems in the Nashville area, perhaps involving this church. I do not know for sure. Brother Monsees, as I recall, was the moderator. Brother Nall was the clerk. And it was a very successful coming together of churches that had been separated. I mention that only to say that I rejoice that all these many years, and I trust and pray it will continue among you, so long as this church stands, that there will be no necessities for a second peace meeting in Nashville, Tennessee. So we come here this morning knowing that love among relatives can fade. Not only fade, it can disappear. Love, even among church members, can be dissipated. But I speak to you this morning of a love that will never fail. A love that will never fade. A love that is constant, unyielding, and precious. Or may I turn to that well-known 8th chapter of Romans and read these words, 35th, 36th verses, all on to the end of the chapter. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Really, that's not a question, as I see it, that's a challenge. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? You know, you've heard these words many times. But listen again to each word, if you will. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or sword or nakedness? I believe I read that. Or nakedness or peril or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, said I would refer again to those two words, nay and yea. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Yes, we've been successful in that recent war. I'm not going to name the country. You know the name of that country, because if I do, Brother Mike Mitchell would say I mispronounce the name of the country. He corrects me every time. I cannot remember where it's Iraq, Iraq, or just how to pronounce it. But I did tell you where it is, and we all know. We had a successful war. But we lost some men, thanks be unto God, not as many as some had anticipated. But we lost some soldiers and some airmen. But oh, may I remind you this morning that in our Lord and Savior coming to this earth and winning the victory, he is more than a conqueror. Indeed, he is a conqueror. We were conquerors over there. But we lost some soldiers, some military men. But here is a battle that our Lord has fought in behalf of his beloved. And he's more than conqueror. He hasn't lost a single one of his precious and beloved children. More than conqueror. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Paul seemed to really like that word, persuaded. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, that we might learn more about his love. We'll never be able to comprehend it all on this earth. But isn't it our desire? I believe it's yours this morning by being here on this weekday morning to know more about his love. As we sing the hymn, more about his love I would know, more of his love to others show. His love. So neither height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. May I turn over here to Jeremiah and read this passage. Jeremiah 31 and 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, now here's the yea. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Here have been now the nay and the yea. And it portrays and pictures for us that love of God, that love of God for us. Think about it. For you and for me. It's beyond our comprehension. It is, as I look in my own life, that he could love me. That he could call me to preach the gospel. I trust of my salvation. Beyond my comprehension this morning. Now we may return back to Ephesians. So many outstanding truths taught in the words that I've read to you from this book. In the 9th verse I read, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Please note how that reads. It does not say, and to make all men see what is the mystery. But to see the fellowship of the mystery. I rather think that a portion of that mystery to us is indeed how he could love us. And to comprehend this magnificent and never dying love for his people. The fellowship of the mystery. I think we've come this morning to learn more about the fellowship of the mystery. Above all, fellowship with him. And fellowship with one another. I rejoice in the fellowship of God's people. That is why it disturbs me greatly to see churches and brethren and sisters torn apart with problems. Problems in our churches, divisions in our churches, have been the greatest enemy of the Primitive Baptist people. It is not enemies without, but it is Satan that has come within to disturb the peace of our churches across the land. Let us be continually in prayer that such may not come among us. That we may be united in defense of the truth and in looking unto him and him alone as the author and the finisher of our faith. Fellowship of that mystery of love to come not with our minds and our hearts centered on division, but our mind and our hearts centered on Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and his love for us. Now, may I read another passage from this? to whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Faith of him who is our Lord, and come with boldness and access. You know, I appreciate those who are bold in defense of the truth, and are bold in desiring to maintain that fellowship of the mystery. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family, I love this verse, the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Oh, when I think about that family, now having approached in my early 70s, I know that there are more of my brothers and sisters that I've known through the years that are now in heaven. Most of my kindred in Christ are now over there. But I'm thankful that I can come to this church this morning and this congregation last night and today, having almost filled this very nice church building you have. And so we're passing on. This time zone here is swiftly passing. And we're going to leave this world and cross over in the not distant future, where most of our spiritual kinship now dwell. What a fond anticipation to meet them, but above all, to meet our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we think and as our thoughts and our minds are centered upon him now for a few moments, may I read this passage that we may be able to comprehend with all saints, which is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. I think of these words here, the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. Oh, there is so much contained therein. But as I think about the word breadth, it just covers, his love covers this world and covers this earth. He has an elect family of God among every nation, kindred, and tongue upon the face of this earth. Now, you know that scripture there in Revelations that teaches us that he has a people scattered throughout this earth, as Brother Lonnie preached to us last evening. And as you sang the hymn 486 this morning, it seemed to fit in quite well with my thoughts and my meditations. The love of God, the love of God, in particular, the third verse. That describes in great measure the breadth of the love of God. Listen to these words. F.H. Lehman has been gone since the year 1953. I doubt if there's anyone in this congregation this morning who knew the author of this hymn. He no doubt was not a primitive Baptist. I do not know what denomination F.M. Lehman belonged to, but let me tell you, I believe in the depths of my heart that if God by his grace gives me that opportunity to walk the paths of that heavenly city, somewhere in eternity, I will meet F.H. Lehman. For surely if he could pen such words as these, he would be one of God's beloved children. Listen again. You sang them this morning. But listen again to the words that F.H. Lehman was blessed to write. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forever and evermore endure the saints and angels' song. Oh, I feel like when I sing this song, I hear again and learn a little more about the love of God that reaches far and near. Let me give you another example that I was very close to when I was involved in the administration in my work through the years, my secular work, the administration of estates and trusts in Atlanta. I had a beneficiary of one of the trusts I was administering who was making a trip around the world. Mrs. Edwards, Rose Edwards was her name. Well, I got to know her quite well. She knew, as others did in my work, that I was a minister. She knew that I was a Primitive Baptist minister. She came to the wedding of Virginia and me, and she was a dear soul. She didn't believe as we Primitive Baptists believe. She taught a Sunday school class at the Druid Hills Baptist Church in Atlanta. The pastor, Dr. Louis D. Newton, who for a time was president of the Southern Baptist Convention and among missionary Baptist circles was known all over the world, Louis D. Newton, a prominent man for sure in Atlanta. And she loved to talk to me about the scriptures. She was one of God's children, I verily believe. And I say again, like I did with F.H. Laban, I believe I will see her in that glory world by God's grace. But she was making a trip around the world, and they reached New Delhi, India. And on this particular day, they went to the Taj Mahal on a very hot day. They returned to the hotel in New Delhi late in the evening, and they retired to their rooms. Mrs. Edwards traveling with no roommate. The next morning, Mrs. Edwards did not come down to have breakfast and soon to depart. She was always on time, very prompt. And so they knew something was amiss. And they asked the hotel management to check to see if there was a problem. And sure enough, there was. They found Mrs. Edwards lying on the bathroom floor, unconscious. And so they literally converted her hotel room into a hospital room. And she lay there for 3 weeks, unconscious. And she told me when she returned to the States, she said, "Mr. Hildreth, even though I always tried to get her to call me Joe, but she always called me Mr. Hildreth." And she was much older than I. And I said, we talked about her experience. And she said, the first thing I saw when I began to come to after 3 weeks, there was a man at the foot of my bed, a very short man with a large turban, his hands folded. He had a heavy beard, his hands folded, and he was looking up. Praise God, praise God. He continued to utter those words, praise God. He was her doctor. And as she began to come out of her unconscious state, he saw that she was going to recover. And he began to praise God for that. Now, he wasn't a Primitive Baptist, of course. He was not a Christian as we know Christians. Later on, Mrs. Edwards brought him to the United States, to Atlanta, and I was pleased to have him for lunch one day. And he was one of the most humble men I'd ever met. And I believe, my friends, I saw in him the evidence of a work of God's grace. And again I say, I believe I will greet him on the shores of that heavenly city. Oh, this is the breadth of the love of God for his people among every nation upon this earth. That's the breadth. Some of the breadth of the love of God. And then the length. Length from eternity to eternity. That's the length of it. So long as we live on this earth, his people experience the presence of his love. And it's been going on from the beginning of time to the end of time. And we'll understand more about it in eternity, where that love will be manifest forever. When we will then know the true definition of that mystery. And then here is depth. Oh, the depth of his love. And I must come to a close. I won't be able to tell you all about the depth and the height, but I'll tell you this much. When you see your Lord and Savior coming down from heavenly glory to this earth, born as a babe in Bethlehem of Judea, born in a borrowed stall, just think with me, those 3.5 years he walked the face of this earth. Pass with me, go with me to Gethsemane. Oh, you couldn't see it. You'd be like all those other disciples. You'd go to sleep, not once, but twice, but three times. Father, let this cup pass from me. Not my will be done, but thine. It was not God's will that the cup pass. And then to Calvary's cross. And on the way to the cross, beaten with many stripes, the nails through his hands and his feet, the crown of thorns, look up and see him there. Oh, there were those who were watching, and sitting down, they watched him there. But they were watching three men die, suffering. They came there to watch it as maybe you would go to some sporting event. And sitting down, they watched him there. What do you see? As you sit there this morning, what do you see? Oh, maybe look into the deepest recesses of our heart and soul. And I pray you will see the love of Christ for you that cannot be described. This is the depth. Go to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah and read those words that describe our Savior upon the cross. Remember these words, and by his stripes we are healed. That part of the fellowship of the mystery. I cannot understand, I cannot describe how indeed there could be such love that by his stripes, we are healed. Then he arose from Joseph's tomb on that third morning. And after 40 days, he arose, ascended into glory. There we see some of the heights of where he is today. Oh, the heights of glory. On beyond the sun and the stars and all the galaxies and all the heavens he's created. On beyond all of that, the heights of heaven itself. It's been a blessing to see you and greet you. You've been a wonderful congregation. And if I never see you again, my prayer is, my hope is, my assurance is, that we'll all walk together on the shores of eternal bliss. God bless you, is my prayer.